From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you being with us on the Bishop's Hour. And we are just pleased and honored to be joined by Bishop Myron Cotta, the Bishop of the Diocese of Stockton. Bishop, good day to you.
Bob, how are you? Good to hear
doing
your voice.
Doing fine. It's been too long since we've talked.
Yes, it has been. And hi to everyone who's listening, too. Throughout the valley. Great. Yeah, it is a beautiful day always that God has created in Stockton. It's always a beautiful day.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed it is.
And,
well, I have to say you are missed here, but I know you're doing great work and doing the Lord's work in the great diocese of Stockton. And what a time of year there. Everything's blossoming. The cherries are starting to form on the trees. And
Exactly.
So this is just nearly your anniversary there. Is that correct?
Correct. I mean, I guess officially, it was the end of January because that's when I received the appointment, the announcement.
Right.
But the anniversary of the actual celebration of the installation is the 25th. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or, I mean, it was the the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then ordination as bishop is the 25th.
Right.
So March is a special month for me.
A very important month,
Yeah.
So the Diocese of Stockton, wedged between the Diocese of Sacramento and the Diocese of Fresno, where you grew up.
Yes.
A lot of similarities in terms of, major urban areas, Fresno, Stockton, Sacramento, but then a tremendous amount of rural area and some up into the mountains.
Correct, into the Motherlode area, correct.
Right.
And all the way up to, oh my gosh, now I'm trying to think of our ski resorts up there.
Bear Valley?
No.
Even further south?
Further east.
Further east, oh, okay.
Yeah, way on the other side of the Sierra.
Oh my goodness.
And, so we, that's the far-flung.
Now, is Mammoth on in
Mammoth.
Stock? It's Mammoth,
that's
okay.
I'm thinking of Mammoth. Mammoth Lakes.
Yes, which I was reading the other day, they've had more snow this year than they've ever had before.
Yeah, into July, I guess, they're going to be skiing. It is a mecca for skiing, So.
Yes.
But that's our far-flung eastern on the other side of the Great Sierra.
Right.
That we have, it's about a 4.5-hour
mm-hmm.
drive when it's, beautiful weather and roads are clear and but the rest of the diocese, yes, it's basically centered, right in the valley. So you're surrounded by the agriculture, and my time up north in with all of you in Sacramento was, wonderful 4 years there. But coming further south here into, like you said, in between Sacramento and Fresno, this part of the valley I'm more familiar with,
mm-hmm.
and so there it was. Very easy transition, to relocate here. So.
And the southern end is what, the end of Stanislaus County, is that correct?
Correct, and Merced County. Right?
And Merced County, right.
Correct, yes. So that whole southern part, when I was still in Fresno, I was familiar because I was at the northwest corner of the Diocese of Fresno. So, here was Newman, here was Patterson, here were all these up Highway 33 corridor. And then Turlock, Modesto, and on all of that. So I became familiar when I was in Gustine.
Right, right.
Yeah. So,
well, a lot of great people in that area. A lot of families that have been there for generations, and then a lot of immigrants as well.
Yes, exactly. Yes, here being in this area, you always have that great history, of the immigrants and.
Right.
And and all the activity in those 1800s, and so the rich history of Sacramento Valley, and of course the Gold Country and all that. But then here in this inland port, that same thing, there's a richness of the history, and the establishments that were set up,
And the Diocese of Stockton. How long has Stockton been its own diocese?
62, too.
Mm-hmm.
It became its own, carved out of the neighboring surrounding dioceses,
mm-hmm.
a little over 10,000 square miles, so it mm-hmm. isn't huge.
Right.
We have 35 parishes, and within the diocese, 11 elementary schools, Catholic schools, and mm-hmm. two high schools, one in Modesto, the other here, St. Mary's in Stockton proper. And again, St. Mary's, a long history, 1800s,
right.
It was established then.
Wow.
And the Dominican sisters coming in and, blazing trails. Let me tell you, those sisters
yes.
did a lot in both dioceses. I mean, throughout the Central Valley, really,
right.
I guess, their presence was very much present and touched people's lives, And,
right.
But yes, and so, it isn't an overwhelming area of, to cover like Sacramento.
Right.
It's just over and beyond. It's just huge. So here it's a little more concentrated. The communities are not so far flung.
And Modesto, that's Central Catholic, is that correct?
Central Catholics, yes.
Yeah, well, people in the Diocese of Sacramento are very aware of St. Mary's and Central Catholic when it comes to athletics. Because they come up here and beat our teams.
They are very competitive.
They
yes.
are.
Yes, both of the high schools here, right. They're doing well, too. It's always that great energy that goes on with Catholic education that
yeah.
you see, among the students and the faculty, the administration, and the families, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So, it creates that other dimension of community, which
yes.
is great.
Oh, indeed. Indeed. I remember one year the St. Mary's girls basketball team, I think, was number one in the country.
Mm-hmm.
They were really something. So, when you took over, how do you go about, assessing and what, kind of seeing the big picture right off the bat?
Well, that's a good question, because every other person, I think, asks the same question. The big question always presented to me when I first got here says, Bishop, what's your vision for the Diocese of Stockton? I says, I don't know what's been going on. I think I'm going to have to, get pay attention, listen, observe. And so my first year would be, that would be my approach, I told the people. And so here we are a year later, and now things are coming into more focus for me.
Mm-hmm.
You broke the ice, let's say,
right.
Of settling in and getting established and people you're working with and, here at the Pastoral Center, that type of thing. And now it's time to, okay, what is my vision, And in the overlapping thing, I see clear across the board, as I, Pope Francis keeps stressing too, and his predecessors, is evangelization.
Mm-hmm.
So, the big umbrella over everything for me, as part of this vision for me is, and for God's people, would be evangelization. How do we accomplish that? How do we package the good news, the message is the same, death and resurrection of Jesus, this good news, and the hope that Christ is for us and for all, for the world. But, how do we present it in a way that speaks to this day and age?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the challenge, from how we prepare people for the sacraments, how do we catechize our children, how do we catechize our families, how do we prepare people for marriage, and what are some of the, challenging aspects of family life that, where is, the Paschal mystery in the midst of that for people, day in and day out? How are they in touch with Jesus? And so it's, where is the relationship with him? And that's the fundamental. And then we build on that,
mm-hmm.
Then we teach and continue our formation. And so that's the overlapping.
Mm-hmm.
Catholic education's top of the list. Vocations is another thing that's, really come into focus. We will have, thanks be to God, two priests ordained in July.
Good. Very good.
One will remain in his studies, working on a degree in Rome, where he's been going to school.
Mm-hmm.
And the other went to St. Patrick's,
mm-hmm.
and, so he will be assigned to a parish here in the Valley. But again, we have no one in the seminary. And so we're making a big effort right now as we speak, of promoting vocations among the clergy, the religious, and then each parish will have a vocations ministry committee, which will be there to help foster and encourage vocations at the parish level among God's people itself, among the families, you know. So there will be all kinds of different ways that they could kind of help do that. So like I'm stressing with people, you know, this isn't just my work. It isn't just the priest's work. It's everybody sitting in the pew's work.
Sure.
How do we acknowledge, invite, encourage, pray, all those things for an increase in vocations? And then it's the reality check of where we are. You know, priests retiring, parishes that might be opening. You know, sometimes people just, you know, see everything just happening as usual, but they don't realize the bigger picture. So, you know, how do we convey that then as part of an educational, you know, piece of this? So vocations is up there, Catholic education, and then this whole overlapping evangelization thing. So right now, that's kind of the vision. You know, how we spread this out, how we, you know, approach it and meet the challenges of all that. And then, of course, there's other things we have to build up. You know, the diocese, as many know, went through some tough times. And
right.
With the great leadership of Bishop Stephen Blair, you know, got things kind of cleared up, went through the bankruptcy, and now it's building this all up. So now it's the whole financial thing. You know, how do we continue to receive funds and support from God's people to supply the services and ministries that are available to the pastoral center?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some of our offices are non-existent. There are things that are needed. But, you know, that's going to have to be just down the road, and that's just the reality. But there's a lot of room for growth, and so that's exciting. You know, and people overall, as we know, love the church. They're there to support. They love their priests. You know, whatever little effort's going on, you know, they're right there financially and giving their time and their talent on top of it all to help make things happen. And that's the thing. We need, it's a team effort, you know.
So
it's exciting.
Exactly. Bishop Cotta, and we're with Bishop Cotta from the Diocese of Stockton, formerly auxiliary here in Sacramento. With the bankruptcy, is that completely in the past now, or how does that work on a day-to-day basis?
Well, there's certain, you know, guidelines that we have to abide to.
From the court?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to abide by those things and then make sure we're, you know, working and operating within those agreements. But, you know, you keep moving forward and do what you need to do and that type of thing, and always there, you know, doing what we have to be as responsible and transparent and all of us in safe environments and also always being there praying and supporting the survivors of clerical child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so there, you know, that always has to be in our focus, that we're concerned about them and how this has had a devastating impact on their lives. And so that's all the ongoing thing that we should all be doing, you know, no matter which diocese and which leadership. I mean, that's got to be a big priority there. And so we continue to do what we're called to do and all that. And so, little by little.
Have you heard, you know, some areas say, well, the scandal has caused, you know, a decrease of whether it's people coming to Mass, et cetera. I haven't seen that in my parish. Are you seeing any of that?
I think, again, in this part of, you know, the Valley, I haven't seen a whole lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, you're going to have individuals who, you know, are upset, and rightly so.
Right.
And others, you know, saying, well, I'm not abandoning ship because of this.
Right.
You know, Jesus is at the helm, and this is who's running the show. You know, the Holy Spirit's guiding us. This isn't the end of the world. It's a huge thing to face and challenge and not to ignore. But,
right.
You know, we don't just stop. you know, so we can have to continue to do the work that the Lord's laid before us in the midst of this, you know. And but no, I would say it hasn't been a huge negative impact, no, that people are leaving in droves. And, you know, my gosh, it was just, you know, the rite of election and all of this going on, people coming into the church, you know, priests saying that, my gosh, you know, I'm busy with confessions. It's like, you know, the faith, the people are faithful.
Right.
You know, and that's just a great sign of the Spirit's presence in the midst of all this, you know, that gives us hope as far as in leadership and the priests, because, you know, this whole impact affects all of us.
Yes.
You know, it's almost to an extent that somehow or another, everybody suffers to some degree, you know, and that's what evil does. You know, it has an impact on everything. And so no one's immune then to the consequences, I guess, you know.
Yeah, I think some of us, we get challenged from the outside, people saying, how can you still be Catholic? How can you go to that church? How can you? My simple answer is, it's the church that Jesus Christ founded. That's inescapable.
Point. Yes, and that's where the focus has to be.
Yeah.
See, again, you get back to that whole evangelization thing. You know, is Christ Jesus the center of everything we do? And is this really his church? And did he really establish this?
Mm-hmm.
And all of this connection with him, and you're thinking, if we believe this, he will not abandon us.
Right.
And he will give us what we need, as long as we are open to him and to the guidance of the Spirit, all the tools and the graces and everything we need to face the darkness and bring our light into that. You know, and people say, well, gosh, you know, people are still hanging in there. What is that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's Christ helping me do that.
That's right.
You know, so, I mean, it's an opportunity then, they see, to evangelize even, you know, in the midst of that.
Indeed, I think it's a great time to witness our faith in the face of adversity, you know.
Correct.
Which is not to deny any of what's gone on and how wrong it was and how we have to be very aware of that. But it is a great time to witness.
Right, right. You know, I was thinking just recently too, here during Lenten time, you know. It's like whenever Lent comes around, I think I could line up some priests and bishops and say, you know, why do things get crazier during Lent, you know,
yeah.
More challenging?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're trying to grow in holiness. You're trying to get your act together a little bit more during Lent. Of course, you know, that's a challenge. And the enemy always likes to stir the pot.
Yep.
You know, so all these little teeny, unexpected, aggravating, frustrating things pop up to try to distract us, you know. And so, and a lot of this, again, negativity that's around is part of that, you know. It all of a sudden kind of raises its ugly head even more so, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, but you have to then put it into perspective again and get centered in Christ again. And, you know, and sometimes you're bombarded, you know, everybody wants explanations for this and this and this and that. And I thought to myself during this Lenten season, you know, there were times when Jesus was being accused, and this was the time for him to speak up and defend himself or hold his ground.
Yep.
You know, he kept his mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the silence, there's a time for that, I guess, too, in how we approach things, you know, not the knee-jerk reaction, you know, the emotional impact that has, and you want to react to that.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, how do we kind of, you know, pull back on the reins on that when we need to, you know, and it's humbling, and because your gut is that you want to do this or say that or give that, you know, group or person their piece of, your peace of mind, but no, you have to say, again, you know, how would our Lord look at this? How would he approach this, you know? And so, you know, the challenge is we're always to look at things pastorally and... And of course, that isn't easy.
Yeah, and indeed, I look at our bishops around the country, around the world, in the midst of this, and I just think what an incredibly difficult it's like walking through a minefield every day. Sort of people.
It sort of it is. You're kind of, you know, dancing around a lot of things,
yep.
You know, right?
But, yeah, and people almost waiting for you to misstep or say the wrong thing or, you know, and
right.
Gotcha, you know.
Yes, right.
And it's you know, it is just what it is. I get the old expression, it is what it is. And people are rising up and saying, and not out of anger, not out of defensiveness, but saying, no, I'm going to stay with this church. We have our problems and mm-hmm. we will deal with those problems as best as we can. But, we will give witness in the face of adversity. And so with the two priests that will be the two individuals who will be become priests, are they natives of the Diocese of Stockton?
They are.
Wonderful.
One of our fellows are from Turlock, community of Turlock, uh-huh. and the other grew up here in Stockton. And so yeah, they're local, and so that's nice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to encourage the local vocations, of course, you know.
Right.
And so, yeah, so that's exciting. So we're going to have, it's going to be an exciting, you know, event for the diocese, you know, because they're both looked up as really good, you know, future priests,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so their families and their parish communities and then those who know them over the years are just saying, boy, you know, God has called this person. He's going to be a great priest, you know. So,
oh, that's wonderful.
The qualities and the character, and so that's what I've been hearing. And then firsthand, too, you know, as I talk with them and visit, and when those are opportunities to do that, yeah, they seem pretty solid, you know, so that's great.
Very good.
Yeah.
As you look forward to once we're out of Lent, as you look forward to your next year, any initiatives you're planning?
I'm not looking that far ahead, I guess, Bob. At this point, there's enough on my plate, I guess.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's like to see now, you know, by the time we get, let's say, to the fall, then it might be time to say, okay, now what's falling into place,
right,
you know?
Right.
You know, but, you know, there's irons in the fire already, even before I kind of got here. So
mm-hmm.
you know, so there's a momentum on some things, you know, already.
Right.
And they're good things. And so it's just continue to maintain and support and move forward. And then there's other areas here to kind of, you know, blaze some trails, I think,
right.
you know? And we'll see how the Spirit guides and empowers us to do what we need to do, you know.
Right.
But I've got a nice team here, and that's a big plus. You know, that's a gift.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, Bishop, I know there's probably 20 people pounding on your door right now, but we greatly appreciate you taking the time to be with us, and our prayers certainly go with you in as you do the great work in the Diocese of Stockton.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for the invitation to be with all of you today, and to share a little bit about this whole new experience here.
Very good.
Well, we'll Diocese of Stockton.
Yes, what a wonderful place, and we'll look forward to talk to you again soon.
Okay, blessings throughout this season of Lent to everybody.
Thanks
God bless
so
you.
Much, Bishop. God bless you, too. Thank
okay.
you.
Bye-bye, Bob. Thanks.
That's Bishop Myron Cotta from the Diocese of Stockton. And what a wonderful man he is, and what great work he did here in the Diocese of Sacramento as an auxiliary, a native of Los Banos down in the Diocese of Fresno. We'll take a quick break, back with more on a Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916 916- 972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Bishop William K. Wiegan, the Bishop Emeritus of Sacramento, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Denning.
Thank you, Bishop Wiegan. Thanks for all you have done and continue to do here in the Diocese of Sacramento. John Watkins joins us from Catholic Charities and Social Concerns, the head of that. John?
Bob, it's good to be here. Thank you.
Good to have you with us. A lot going on in your life. In your world.
It is, and I'll tell you, it's obviously we're working in the midst of a lot of challenging things, but it's always exciting for me to be a small part of the mission of the church as it comes to caring for those in need.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And speaking of which, an exciting and very interesting and I'm sure challenging new initiative, the Exodus Project.
Yeah, that's an exciting new program that was it's a long time coming, but was launched in January of this year, and it's a joint project with Bishop Jaime Soto, working together with St. Vincent de Paul Society, and the Exodus Project is a reentry, a mentoring program for men and women that are exiting the RCCC jail in Sacramento. And we're very excited about it. There is a great need. This really came out of our work in the jails. As Bishop Soto has and the diocese has gotten more and more involved, specifically, of course, we're already involved in the prisons, in our state prisons. Right. We have seven in this diocese. But we have a number of county jails here as well. Right. And so the bishop has been, over the last few years, really ramping out ministry to the incarcerated in our county jails. Mm-hmm. And what we found was there is a great need to helping people when they get out of jail.
Right.
And one of the main reasons for that is, you may recall back in 2011, when the state of California was under court order to reduce the number of people in our prisons.
They overpacked the county jails.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, they overpacked them, but they also packed them with people that were in our state prisons.
Right, exactly.
So these are folks that are considered nonviolent criminals, and many of them are serving out their entire sentence in our county jails.
You used to think of county jail as a year or less, almost always misdemeanors.
Usually a few days until you get sentenced, right? They're holding you there until you get sentenced.
Right.
Or let you go. And so now you have folks there for many, many years. And one of the natural problems, of course, is these were supposed to be holding centers, not like our prisons. And so there really isn't, has not been services
not
for those,
the rehab
getting them
kind of,
ready.
Right.
And so this is a great need. The mentoring program is working with, of course, the county probation. So we're working very closely in collaboration with them.
Now, this is just Sacramento County at this point.
This is a pilot project. Right. Actually, we've been contacted by both Solano and Yolo County. Mm-hmm. They're already asking us to get involved, and I think we will to a degree. But we want to see how this works in right. Sacramento County, and there is a great need in throughout the whole diocese for this kind of work, which is ultimately the hope is that not only we're accompanying people as they're going through probation, mm-hmm. and so they are already receiving some amount of social services. Mm-hmm. What the mentors do is really is accompany them and help them to reconnect to community, reconnect to their family, reconnect to faith. And of course, we know that many or most of the folks that are coming out aren't necessarily Catholic. So we are helping them to get reconnected to where their faith tradition lands for them. So this is an interfaith effort, even though it is being run by the Catholic Church, because we want to serve people because it is a human need to be connected to God and to have faith. And so we want to get them to that.
Indeed. So the mentors, who are the mentors?
The mentors are going to be coming from our churches, and mm-hmm. When I say our, I'm speaking in the broadest sense. So obviously, we're going to get a lot from our Catholic churches, but we're also going to be reaching out to churches across the spectrum, mm-hmm. From the Muslim to our Jewish brothers and sisters to many of our Protestant brothers and sisters. So we are blessed to have a new director, Rabbi Seth Castleman. Mm-hmm. He is very well connected to the broader interfaith community.
Right.
So we have, obviously, through St. Vincent de Paul, we have strong relationships in our Catholic community. So we're bringing those two things together so that we can do a very good job of matching the mentors to the mentees. That's step one. The step one really is getting the mentors. Mm-hmm. Step two is then we train the mentors. The mentors will receive extensive training, about 18 hours of training to getting them ready.
Wow.
Step three is then they will be able to visit the men and or women on the inside. It's important mm-hmm. to establish the relationship on the inside before
right.
they get outside. And then there's a regular sort of program involved of visitations and so mm-hmm. on that is kind of spelled out in the program.
How are the inmates selected who will be mm-hmm. be part of this?
So that's there. Obviously, we are not working with certain folks, if they're violent criminals or pedophilia or certain. So this is a group that has been self-selected, mm-hmm. In part recommended by the sheriff. In part, they have to fill out an application, which weeds them out as well, both in terms of their interests, because mm-hmm. we make it a little bit challenging for them to
right.
apply,
right.
and we vet them in that process as well. And so that what we end up with is a sampling of folks that we believe are really interested in turning their lives around. We want to start there because we can't help people that aren't ready to mm-hmm. be helped. And so at least if we could reach out to those that are reaching out for help, that's where we want to focus first. It's not to say the others aren't,
right.
worthy. It's just that we don't have the capacity to do that.
Do you have a for instance, I know I hate the word stereotype because everybody's unique, but of who one of these people might be?
Well, I mean, let's take a common problem of a nonviolent criminal, someone that's had some drug and alcohol mm-hmm. problems. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, there's a big difference between someone that is currently an addict and someone that's striving
right.
one day at a time to not be an addict. So
right.
we're gonna that would be a common type of person that is working on their program.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we're going to want to help them to continue to work on their program, whether it's a drug or alcohol kind of program. So I would say that would probably be common, both on the men and the women's side.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to try to have it balanced. Obviously, what's the studies have shown that women are more apt to be successful in these mentor programs. But really, it sort of depends on who we also bring in as mentors, mm-hmm. that we have to match up women to women and men to men.
Right.
So we're hoping that we get an ample amount of women volunteers, or women that want to volunteer to help other women. And we see that that's the biggest bang for the buck is helping the women to continue to support them and getting the healing back into their families, mm-hmm. and then the healing and recovery they need with their drug or alcohol issues, or many cases, guy issues, really keeping them away from Mr. Wrong, that right. kind of stuff. So those are the types of folks that we'll be working with. And the way that it has to work ultimately is we have to have really good relationships with the sheriffs that are working with us, and we're helping them.
Right.
And of course, probation. This is something, again, part of the way that we came up with the program is in talking with probation and said, what's the gap? And they said, well, we have social services, but really we can't do anything with linking people back to faith and really the human side of things. We're not good at that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're good at that. So that's where we decided to come in.
Wow. So sample mentor, who are you looking for?
Well, we want people that are obviously people. This is a human thing. We want people that are passionate, that feel called. This is a calling. It's not easy. And there's a commitment, something like probably about 8 hours a month, mm-hmm. which for some it is not a big burden, but
right.
for others might be a burden.
Right.
And then, of course, this person needs to be somewhat adept at and willing to be able to learn and adapt, and to be able to be not too rigid in the way mm-hmm. that they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have it dead set that the only success equals that they go to daily mass, mm-hmm. That's not going to help. We
right.
need to meet people where they're at. We want to try to bring them back to wholeness, and it is the witness of our own lives that will be very. That's what we're doing to evangelize in some sense, and of course, we'll be talking about God. There is components of prayer. There is things like that within the mentoring program. It's just we have to meet them where they're at. If they're Baptists, and many of them haven't practiced in a mm-hmm. while, and we're just helping them find their way back to some sort of organized way of being in faith.
So a person who is Catholic and self-declared, I presume,
mm-hmm.
you're going to try to match them with somebody who's Catholic.
Sure,
and,
yeah.
And then how will that relationship develop?
So we hope that not only that, let's say if it was the Catholic, we hope that the Catholic is coming from a particular Catholic parish, mm-hmm. and that we hope that this is one of the Catholic parishes that we're going to be in relationship with, and that the end goal is we do want folks to be able to find a place in our churches.
Mm-hmm.
When I say our churches, I certainly mean specifically Catholic churches, but whatever church. So one of the issues that we see a lot of is that churches really don't want these people, right?
Yeah.
So we need to help all involved to make it so that the folks can get involved.
Right.
Again, now we're not talking about, and there should be legitimate concerns if we were talking about folks that have a violent criminal history or
right.
other kinds
sure.
of things. But even still, these are folks that, we just need to make sure that there's a space that the signs sort of aren't put up that, no, we
yeah.
don't, you look kind of homeless
right.
or different,
right.
and maybe
right.
that we're not really that interested in having you.
Right.
So we will be working with our partners and our partners will be our churches, our parishes, our synagogues, our mosques. Mm-hmm. And that's where the primary source of our mentors will be coming from, right, those communities. Our goal would be to bring them back to those communities. It's in those, through those communities, that they have the most powerful hope for transformation.
Yeah, yeah. And to reconnect. And
yes.
Wow. So initially they will still be incarcerated.
We want to catch that. And the other piece you talk about, well, who are we talking about? We're not talking about someone that is only going to be in jail for a few days. Not talking about them.
Right.
We're talking about men or women that are going to be filling their sentence there and have been there or will be there for a period of time long enough,
right,
we think, that we've had some time to assess them, long enough where they've had some time to reflect, mm-hmm, and maybe they're ready to change. So these will probably be folks that have been there for a term of 1, 2, 3, 4 years. It's, mm-hmm, it's not going to be a matter of months,
right,
but a matter of a number of years,
right,
that they've spent in jail. Those are the ones that we're going to be focused in on.
But they will be nearing an exit,
yes,
date?
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be nearing their exit date. And that's, probably, as soon as maybe 1 to 2 months from, uh-huh, their exit. And then we'll meet them a few times inside. And the good thing there also is the mentor and the mentee have an opportunity to kind of, discern themselves. Like, oh, sure, I don't know if I like that guy.
Right.
I don't know if I can do anything both ways. And that's okay. We're not... this isn't, on the one hand, it's not matchmaking. We really, for the mentors, you want to be in it and you want to be open-minded. But the other side is, if it's not going to work for whatever reason, it's a little bit awkward.
Right.
We don't want to push that either. Right. We want to make a good match.
Yeah, you want it to be successful.
That's right.
How is St. Vincent de Paul involved?
Well, St. Vincent de Paul, Bishop Soto has come from an experience in the Diocese of Orange,
mm-hmm,
where in that diocese, the St. Vincent de Paul was very involved with jail ministry. And as St. Vincent de Paul Society has always been involved to a degree with ministry to the incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
That is not foreign to,
right,
St. Vincent de Paul Society. In this diocese, there are a number of conferences that actually are doing active jail ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But in the most cases, they haven't done too many things.
Right.
But this was a long time conversation with a discernment with St. Vincent de Paul with the bishop and with the diocese to say, is this something, that it would be appropriate for St. Vincent de Paul? And the answer was yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very thankful to be able to work with one of our partners,
right,
that we support very directly, obviously in our parishes, but also through the Annual Catholic Appeal,
right,
is one of our key partners, right, is the St. Vincent de Paul Society. And we're very grateful that they've stepped up, and we know that they're going to do a great job.
Is there a blueprint for this?
Yeah, there's different mentor programs. There's other St. Vincent de Pauls that are doing reentry programs. Our program is going to be a little bit different because we're doing two different things simultaneously. So on the spiritual side, we believe it's really important to connect back,
mm-hmm,
to faith, that people are hardwired for faith,
right,
and that's an important part of the integral human development of the person. Most of the mentoring programs out there are really more strictly human development,
mm-hmm,
in the sense of recovery, cognitive, behavioral changes, and so on. So we also think that that's important. So a component of what we're doing is taking some of the practices of mentoring programs that incorporate that kind of cognitive, behavioral, mm-hmm, change model. We certainly want to get them focused on getting out of their bad behaviors of drugs or other,
right,
things. But we also, in a positive way, we want to encourage folks to connect back to family,
mm-hmm,
connect back to faith. We believe as Catholics, and I think most other faiths believe, that faith is an enormous part of the human person. It's a significant part of who we are.
Right.
And the absence of that can also make us weaker, yeah. more fragile.
Yeah.
And that the presence of faith can give us resilience and give us hope and also give us direction.
Yeah.
So that's our model.
Well, you're dealing with the truth. I mean, it is. Yeah. That's what you just said is it's provably true.
No, oh, absolutely.
I've said to my wife many times, thank God we have our faith. You know, when you're facing yeah. something tough or something hard to get through, and nothing compared to what some of the people you're describing have to face and have to overcome, and the level of recidivism, whether with drugs or just with incarceration, is so high. Those are difficult things to overcome, and to try to do it without faith, even what the 12-step
trying
program.
Trying to do anything without faith, I don't know how I would do it.
And
you don't have to be a scientist to know it, although scientists have explored that.
Yeah.
But I think any person that has had the opportunity and the gift to be able to have a relationship with God and to have faith knows that is a great source of strength. I know for 100%, at least for me, I know. And when I speak to other people of faith, we all agree. And so, again, these are people, they've self-selected. They want this. It's not something that we're forcing upon them, and we won't force upon them. But it is something they know that this is, the faith is a part of the journey. And they're human beings.
Yeah.
Of course. You know, there's something longing and something that's yep. calling them to this. And so that's where our hope is. That's who we want to work with. And we believe and we hope that these men and women will become a source of hope for the church, mm-hmm. a source of hope and renewal for the community. Because if they can change, what a powerful witness and just breaking that cycle of violence, the cycle of drugs, the cycle of broken families, if we can break that cycle, yeah. it's a powerful thing. So I think we're very grateful that the bishop was willing to mm-hmm. invest in this. We're very grateful that St. Vincent de Paul is willing to step up as well.
Well, you know, it's right there in Matthew 25 to visit those. You know, it's really interesting to me of all the things that could be in Matthew 20. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. hungry, naked, alone. Those are kind of things that would come to mind. Visiting somebody in prison doesn't right. say because they're wrongly convicted or because right. they got a bad deal. It just says care for them.
Right.
You know, so if Jesus said it, he probably had a good reason.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so it's an invitation to all of us. And the great thing is, you know, I believe that God calls us all in some way to the works of the Matthew 25, but he calls us each specifically right. in a different way. For some, he calls to work and visit the sick, and for others to do social service and outreach to the homeless and the right. hungry. But others, he does call to visit those that are incarcerated, or in this case, that are I would call them somewhere between sick
uh-huh,
and yeah. And also really carrying that burden of the incarceration, because they're really unwanted, unneeded. Our society yeah. tells them, no, thank you. You know, yeah. we wish you could stay longer in in the jail.
Yeah.
We're sorry you're out. And, you know, that's, of course, our hope, our faith is that no one is beyond that redemption. And we don't have the power to transform, but God does have that right. power. And we just need to show up and to bring God with us, and God will... we hope we'll make some changes.
John, people are listening and say, hey, I think I might want to dip my toes in this.
Mm-hmm.
What should they do?
Well, I would say just a couple things. So I would go on the website mm-hmm. and just go to, we have
the SCD.org website.
The SCD.org, and then you do a / Exodus, okay. Just like the Bible, Exodus. And you'll get some more information. You'll get some contact information for Rabbi Seth, and so you can find out more. Now, I could tell you and the listeners that we do have our first training cohort that's coming up in June. June 6th is the first.
All right.
And you're going to find out more information if you go on the website. But again, I just encourage people, even if they're hesitant, maybe is what they're thinking, just make a phone call or an email to the director and start the ball rolling that way.
Very good. John, a phone number if anybody has a question or a...
Well, sure. Let me give you, this is a Rabbi Seth's direct number here. It's area code 617-935-9697.
Very good. Very good. And somebody I've met, a good man. A very good man.
He is. Yeah.
So, well, a great, we hope. And, you know, Matthew 25 and Catholic, with Catholic Charities and Social Concerns, you got all of them. You got everything in Matthew 25.
Well, the church has all of them.
The church has
You're right. We don't do all the sick. We do some mentally sick, but we do have Catholic hospitals that also take care of the sick, too.
Yeah.
You bet. You know, we have to do it all. Jesus was not messing around. He said, you will do it. And he said not just to individuals. He said it to the church because he was talking to the church gathered in the upper room when he gave that sermon. So we know he was talking specifically. So if anyone wonders why the heck are we doing hospital work, why the heck are we doing social services, that's why we do it. And that's why, again, why we bristle so much when in the politics of the day, they want to make our faith private and just go to the church.
Yeah.
But for Catholics, hey, hold on a minute. Our Catholic charities, our Catholic hospitals are Catholic. This is how we live our faith, is in the public.
Right.
Don't tell us what our faith is. Yeah. We know what our faith is.
Well, even perverting the language or the Constitution to say we have freedom of worship.
Yeah.
You know, go in that close the door, do whatever you want to.
Freedom of religion, for religion, not just worship.
That's
worship is great, but China does that. They're happy with you in the basement, but they're not happy if you're doing anything outside of the basement.
Don't open the door and come out and start talking in the public arena. It's amazing. Does Matthew 25 include Root for Gonzaga in March?
Maybe.
Should be in there somewhere.
It should be in there.
Yeah, yeah.
May the best team win, I think it says.
Very good. I'm waiting to find that player who's named Matthew and he's got number 25 on his uniform.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah. Well,
that'd be your sign.
And in terms of, you know, we've only got a couple minutes, but just I know you're so involved in Paradise and Reading and all of the car fire and the campfire. How are things? I know the rain really...
Well, that gave us a setback, yeah. Well, I'll say that we're getting ready on the car fire to beginning to move to what I'd say would be phase three, which is the rebuilding.
Uh-huh.
So we have the initial relief, and then we're still working on the recovery. We're still going to be working on the recovery for a while. That's helping the individuals and it just getting their lives back together. At the same time, we're now just beginning to start the rebuild. We got to start getting... the homes and the offices are rebuilt. Now, that's the same process that we're looking to do and with the campfire. We're not there yet. We're still in the early phases of the relief effort, and we're still getting ramped up. There's a lot of work to do, and again, we're not just our Catholic Charities, but we're working very closely with St. Vincent de Paul and the people in the community to try to help people get back to whole.
Very good. Well, John, you got your work cut out for you.
Thank you.
I appreciate you, all you do, and appreciate you giving us your time today. I'm sure that your people are lined up outside your door right now. Say, where's John? Where is he?
That's why I'm down here, Bob.
You want to keep the door closed?
Can you keep it closed? Can I stay here for the rest of the day?
Very good. Thanks so much.
Bob, thank you.
God bless your work. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks. That's John Watkins, the Director of Catholic Charities and Social Concerns for the Diocese of Sacramento. We've got a wonderful event coming up on the National Council of Catholic Women, the Sacramento Diocesan Council of Catholic Women. Their 86th annual convention is coming up Saturday, April 6th, 8:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Wonderful group of people. I don't know if we have another organization. John, do we have another organization in the Diocese of Sacramento that's been going to have an 86th annual?
I think they're competing with us.
Yeah.
They're competing with Catholic Charities. They've been around for a while.
Wow. It's remarkable. I know the Catholic Herald, I think, goes back to like 1910 or something like that. So, but some great speakers. There'll be Holy Mass with Father John Cantwell, who is the spiritual director for the organization. And then Dr. Lois Losey, the new chancellor of the Diocese of Sacramento, will be the keynote speaker. And then guest speaker Catherine Parrish Reese, director of the San Francisco province, will be there as well. So I've been to one of the, I spoke at one of their events, and it's a great group of people. And I remember a few years ago interviewing them, and they said that there were still one or two people from that went to the first convention around. So that's a long and fruitful life,
I would say.
Yeah. So anyway, this is a great event coming up on, and you can find out about it too at scd.org on the diocesan website, or contact Judy Martinez. It's J-U-D-I-E, Judy Martinez at, and that's Martinez Inzing in a Z, Judy Martinez Art at gmail.com. Should be a great event. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and long-standing support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. On it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showing that God is love, is just death.